to let you in on a little secret. Sometimes you might wonder, what are they talking about when they're up there? I just told Jesse what a good job. I also said that I have to raise this up a little higher because I can't see as good. And his wisdom that he just offered was, you need to eat more carrots. So I'm going to add that to my week this week. Thank you, Jesse, for your love and care. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Jesse has just led us, as he does each week, so awesome. Not just in music, but in words of life over death. Couldn't help but think of your word as he was sharing that, of the enemy that is present in our life, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you said, I have come that you may have life, and not just have life over death, but to have life more abundantly. And so I pray that this Christmas season, as we think about the gift that is you and why that was even something that you chose to do, that you chose to come and live this life as a human, to live a perfect death, to die a death on a cross, to be rose again from the grave, to ascend into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father on our behalf, even this morning. Why would you have chosen to do such a thing? It was to give us life over death and to give us life more abundant. And so that's the words that we choose this morning, are words of life over any words of death, any loss, any sadness, any grief, any of those things. We choose life this morning, true life that is only found in Jesus. That's our prayer this morning. We pray and we ask this in his name. Amen. I want to review just a little bit from last week, a little different take on Christmas than probably some that gathered together last week, but it ties into this week, so I feel like need to review just a little for those that that weren't here. We got deep last week into the history of basically all existence, right? We used something that several of us guys who have traveled around, we've gone to prisons in Texas, and we've used a book called Wild at Heart by John Eldredge, and he's the one that kind of gave this idea of the acts, if you will, from a play. Act one being that God has always been, that Jesus, this Christmas season that we celebrate, that it wasn't just Jesus popping onto the scene. This was his first existence. Jesus had always been Father, Son, Holy Spirit, living in perfect unity with one another. In the beginning, John 1:1, we talked about that this was really the first beginning, that it was no beginning at all, that God has always been. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, that God has always been. Act 2 was this rebellion, right? Lucifer and the fallen angels cast down with the third, cast down, and this real enemy that we have was Act 2. Act 3 is our beginning when we pop onto the scene. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was our beginning, right? This perfect fellowship with God, this perfect unity with God. And then sin enters the picture, but also so does our salvation with Jesus' birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. It's a beautiful picture. And then we even foreshadowed Act 4, this renewal of all things that will happen one day. And so thinking of those acts, Acts 1 through 4, I want us to kind of go back to Act 3, that God created us. God created you. I want you to understand that this morning, to let that be personal, that God created Adam and Eve with perfect, uninterrupted fellowship. Think about that. No sin, no temptation of sin, but perfect fellowship with God. Y'all, if you don't believe me, God was someone who walked and talked with Adam and Eve. This is what we were created for. This morning, I want you to know that everything, all of the beautiful things that Adam and Eve were created for, so were you and I. That's what we were created for. That's why we existed, was for perfect fellowship with God. He didn't have to create us. He chose to create us. In fact, if you want to know a real definition of love, he chose to create us even knowing that we would choose our own way. And we continue to choose our own way. And this is the reason for Jesus entering human history. What was meant for Adam and Eve was meant for us. This is why the plan of Act 4 is to renew all things, to renew Eden like it was supposed to be in the beginning. Jesse kind of talked about this, but we've missed it. When it comes to heaven, honestly, a lot of us think of this grand worship service in the sky, right? You even see that there are beings in Scripture that say, holy, 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 and all over. And while that is true, while that is absolutely 100% true, can I just tell you that we sell heaven short when we think about just an everlasting worship service? I want to just be completely transparent and honest this morning. No offense to Jesse. Jesse, I don't know if you can hear me. No offense to you. No offense to me speaking the word most weeks or others that do. I want to tell you, I don't want to sign up for something that just lasts over and over just like that. It's a renewal of all things. Eden, this perfection, being in nature, being one with God and Him being eternal life. That's what Jesse was talking about. It's not just an eternal worship service. All things restored. Of a perfect intimacy with God and the renewal of all things. I want to read this verse from last week just to reiterate this. And it says in Revelation 21:5, He who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. He also said this, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Now one day all things will be made right. All loss will be regained. All things made new. I just want to take you back to the beginning, though. I want to take you back to Act 3. I want to take you into the moment that sin entered the picture and sin messed everything up, right? That God created us for intimate fellowship, yet we chose our own way. We inherited this from Adam and Eve. We continue to choose our own way. But even after sin entered the picture, intimacy was still the goal of our Father. He's still a loving Father. He still cares for us. The desire is still there. In fact, when we read the deal about the Garden of Eden and we see the angels kind of set before, we see these angels as they were, excommunicated from the garden, if you will, and saying they can't enter again. This wasn't necessarily punishment. This was an idea of they can't live this way forever. We have to make a way. It was always the plan. There was no chaotic meeting of what do we do now? Jesus has always been. Jesus was always the plan to enter into human history, to redeem us, to restore us. Listen to this. If you don't believe me, intimacy was a goal. Listen, after Adam and Eve sinned, listen to what we encounter in Scripture. In Genesis 3:8-9, it says this, And they, being Adam and Eve, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. If you want to know what perfect fellowship with God looks like, it is this, a God who shows up for a cool afternoon walk. It says, they hear the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Can I be real this morning? Some of you may find yourself this Christmas season doing the same. Marred in a life of sin or disappointment or struggle, you are hiding yourselves over in the bushes when you hear the Lord God coming to make His presence known in your life. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, Where are you? Can I ask you a real question this morning for those that are gathered around listening? Do we honestly think that the God of the entire universe, the God that spoke the entire universe into existence, the God that has always been the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God, didn't know where Adam and Eve were? He knew. He knew that they were hiding. He knew that they were ashamed. He knew that sin had entered the picture, but He comes looking for His afternoon walk. It's intimacy is His desire as a father. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, Where are you? In other words, I miss my walk. I miss my talk with you. Where are you? Come, enjoy fellowship with me. I believe this is still God's desire for us. I believe this is still what He wants from us. He wants intimacy. He knows you, in fact, and knows you better than anyone else. In fact, I just want to read Psalm 139 this morning. And this, if you want to say, man, He doesn't know me, I don't know Him, I want you to hear of the intimacy He knows you with, that He created you with purpose this morning. Oh Lord, You have searched me and know me. He knows you intimately. He created you. He knows everything about you. Listen to what it says He knows in Psalm 139. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. So when I go to bed, when I wake up, You know me. You discern my thoughts from afar. He even knows what we're thinking, good, bad, indifferent. You search out my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Listen to this. Good, bad, indifferent. He knows everything that we ever do. Can I be completely honest this morning and tell you that that used to freak me out and it used to scare me because I know me. I know sometimes the thoughts that creep in my mind. I know sometimes the actions that happen. I know sometimes the things that I'll say or think. And He knows all those ways. You're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, even before I say it, You know it all together. You hem me in behind and before me. You lay Your hand upon me. David stops in this psalm and says this, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Modern language, David says, my mind is blown by this. You know everything about me, every detail. My laying down, my getting up, the words that I say. Before I even say it, He says, You know my thoughts. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't understand that, basically, David says. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Some of us are running this morning. Some of us are hiding in the trees in the garden where God is saying, where are You? God is asking this morning, where are You? I'm here for the walk. I'm here for the fellowship. I'm here for conversation. I'm here for intimacy. You have a seat at my table. Where are You? Some of us are hiding in the garden. Some of us are saying, I'm going to run. I'm going to run far from His Spirit. Maybe some of us have heard that Spirit, heard that voice before. Maybe as a small child, and we used to hear that voice, but it's become so distant, it feels like we've gone too far. David says, where shall I go from Your Spirit, or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, in other words, the heights, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the depths, the very pit of destruction, death, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Guys, there are places in our ocean that have yet to even be discovered, which kind of freaks me out if I'm honest. I've watched things about that on TV and it says that there are so far of the depths that saying that it can't even be discovered at this point. The technology is not even there to understand what is there. And David says, if I go to the uttermost parts, the deepest part of the sea, You would be there. Even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, I'll just hide over here in the dark corner, the light about me. Even the darkness is not dark to You. The night is as bright as the day. In other words, if I go to the darkest corner, You are there. For darkness is as light with You. You say, man, that may be good for you, Keith, but I don't understand that. I don't get that. I don't subscribe to that. I don't think He really knows me. In fact, I'm going to go and throw out, if He knows me, He doesn't like me very much. Can I tell you the truth this morning? You're absolutely right. He doesn't like you. He's infatuated with you. He loves you. His creation for you was no accident. By the way, I'll go on and speak this. Even if parents didn't plan you, He did. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than sand. He went to great lengths to create you just like you are. Absolutely, incredibly, magnificently in love with who you are. Right now, not before you clean yourself up, not before you get things straight, not before you stop this or start that. He is there in the midst of your sin and your trouble, just like he was in the garden. Where are you? Wanting a walk, wanting a talk, wanting fellowship, wanting intimacy with you. I would stake my life that this is the heart of the Father. So what do we do then this Christmas season if we come to a place like this of understanding that the Father loves us this much, that He made a way? Old Testament in Zechariah 1 verse 3 says this, "Thus declares the Lord of hosts, return to me and I will return to you." This morning, if you feel like he's at a long off distance, if you feel like there's no return, if you feel like maybe one day you knew him better than you know him now, maybe if the voice is not as loud as it used to be and you feel that intimacy is broken, here's what I want to offer, and it's no magic pill, there's no magic prescription, there's no crazy outlandish things you have to do. Return to him and he will return to you. In fact, he's already there. He's waiting. He is waiting with the love of a father for a son or a daughter. In fact, here's why I share all of this morning. It boils down to one simple statement. Christmas is all about restoration. I want you to let that sink in this morning, that Christmas is all about restoration. Jesus has always been, but why would he make his appearance in the form of man in human history and intersect himself? It was planned before the very beginning. Knowing that creation would fall, knowing that creation would sin and there would be separation, it is all about your restoration, my restoration. Jesus came and lived a perfect life, died a sinner's death on a cross, was put in a borrowed tomb, and he rose from the grave, and he is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf because he loves you and cares for you. And no matter what you've done or doing or will do, restoration is possible. Justification. We've said this word the last few weeks, and I have to scream it again this morning and say it loudly. The idea that guilt is removed is awesome, but the idea that guilt is removed and that we would stand righteous before God is even better. I close with this verse this morning for Christmas. If you think Zechariah got it wrong, if you think, "Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you," that's just too Old Testament for me. I'm a New Testament guy. Well, good, because James 4:8 says this, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Here's what it says this morning. I want to just kind of paraphrase with this. I feel led to close in this way this morning. Aren't you grateful this morning that it says that if you'll clean yourself up, I'll draw near to you. If you'll stop sinning, I'll draw near to you. If you'll go to church enough times in a month, I'll draw near to you. If you'll just this, if you'll just that, if you'll just stop using, I'll draw near to you. All we simply got to do is just turn from where we're going, walk to him, and it says that he'll draw near to us. Pretty simple, right? What if this morning, what if this Christmas season is the about face where you say, "I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that Christmas is about my restoration. I'm going to believe that he made a way. I'm going to stop where I'm going and I'm going to turn. And I'm going to walk to him, and I'm going to trust that if I walk near to him, he's going to walk near to me." In fact, here's what I believe it means. The image of the prodigal son keeps coming to mind this morning, so I'm going to share that because there may be some prodigals in our midst, those who have taken everything and run off and squandered it all and got nowhere else to go and are thinking, "Man, if I was just a servant, if I could just eat what the pigs are eating, any of those thoughts that the prodigal felt. When he goes to meet his father in Scripture, it says that the father was not only there, but he was out waiting and he ran to meet him. And it says he couldn't stop kissing him. This morning, if you wonder, well, if I draw near to him, is he going to draw near to me and be so mad at me? Is he going to be angry? Is he going to just strike me down right now for all I've done? No, he's going to run with arms wide open and greet you. Put a robe on you, put a ring on your finger, and he won't stop kissing you. And he will say, my son, my daughter that was lost is now found. My son, my daughter that I thought was dead is now alive. Let's celebrate. The scriptures tell us that the angels rejoice over just one. This morning, if you could say, I've never met him before, wouldn't an awesome time be Christmas? Yes, I believe that his birth was about my restoration. Would that be the day that you meet him today? If you ran the entire other opposite direction and said, I know him, but man, it's been so long. Maybe today's the time to stop, turn around, trust him and say, I'm going to draw near to you, God. Will you do like that man's telling me? Would you just come near to me? I promise on my very life, if you go near to him, he's going to come near to you. Would you pray with me this morning just in a bold way? You bow your heads and close your eyes and maybe for the first time in a long time, not think of God as a distant gray-haired man sitting on a throne. Maybe the whole spirit thing freaks you out. You think it's just a ghostly presence. Would you just picture a loving Father that wants so desperately for you to draw near to him and for him to draw near to you? And so much so that he made a way that Jesus himself was born not in a palace, but in a stable. Not laid in the bed of a prince or a king, but laid in a manger. That the first smells that he ever smelt were that of animals. To live a humble life, to serve those who had maybe been forgotten. To live a perfect life, to be put on trial in a false way and put on a cross with outstretched arms of love, put in a borrowed tomb and raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, all for your restoration. All to make a way. That's the whole reason for Christmas. Jesus had always been. There was no need for the human intervention except we sinned and he made a way. This Christmas season, my prayer is this, that when you see a nativity scene, when you see a manger, when you think of the birth of Jesus, it's not just for gathering together or presents. It's not for Santa Claus. It's not for all of these other things that are great and wonderful. It is for the idea of your restoration of intimacy that was lost from the beginning of time. You want it back, draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. You pray with me this morning, just a bold word, and say this in your heart, Father. Father. And so at that, would you consider drawing near to him? I promise you, you have my word, that if you come with a heart of saying, hey, I just want more of you, God, wherever you're at in that relationship, if it's yet to begin or if it's been going on 50 years, if you draw near to him this morning, he will draw near to you. That's my prayer for you, my friends and family this morning. Draw near to him. God, will you help us all, myself included, help me lead the way because I need to do it just as much and more than anybody. Can I draw near to you this morning and can I just feel you draw near to me? We trust you. We say we're here. We're walking towards you. You walk towards us. We love you. We thank you. We thank you that Christmas is here. We thank you that the time where we stop the busyness of life and we focus and we celebrate the coming of our Lord. We thank you for the Advent. We thank you for our restoration. We thank you for the gift that is Jesus' human life, death, burial, and resurrection that makes our restoration possible, that makes the restoration of all things possible. Eden will be restored through Jesus' sacrifice. We thank you for that. We long for that day. But until then, we take a step closer to you and just pray and trust you at your word that you'll take a step closer to us. We love you. We thank you. We pray it in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.